2 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Now, for those of us running small businesses, wellness is such an integral part of what we do, and we forget it so easily as we get caught up in the sales and the marketing and the customer service and the delivering of the products and all the other stuff, you know, the real stuff that goes into running a business. And we forget that fundamental block of I'm okay, I can get up in the morning and I can conduct what I'm doing in a healthy way, in a way that doesn't completely destroy my own mental health. If we don't do that, then we just can't run a sustainable business. Someone I've met who knows this through her great experience traveling, as it turns out, all over the world with vice presidents of this and sales presidents of that, right down to Paris of all places, is Rebecca Privilege. Now, she runs a business called Integrated Wellness, which is sort of kind of the end of this whole journey, amazing journey that she's taken. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to slip in here that you also relaunched the Chico Roll. So just to give us a bit of grounding, is that those of you who love to have the Chico Rolls for breakfast, and yes, my husband, I am talking to you, that you can thank Rebecca for this, because it was almost faded away. Her great triumph of her sales and marketing career is a relaunch of the Chico Roll. Rebecca, the Australian public thanks you.
Oh my God, I'll never live that down. I can't believe I'd remember that.
Right, so moving on from the Chico Roll, obviously there is more to you than a fried breakfast food. But eldest of four.
Yes.
Which of course comes with its own challenges.
Yes.
And sense of responsibility. But started in marketing of all places. Was that something you'd always wanted to do, or something you just sort of kind of fell into?
I just fell into it. Everything that I've done in the corporate world, I've just fallen into.
Right.
Now, I know better than to know that I've just fallen into it. So for me, energetically, spiritually, I know that I didn't land there by chance.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful for every step, because I've learned something, and you learn the most amazing things that take you to the next one, the next thing that you do. And I've always worked with energy since I was 5.
Right.
Had an invisible, I didn't know it was invisible, spirit child that I would play with and work with, and who was my teacher, called Cameron, and he would teach me about hands-on healing and the energy matrix of the universe and the energy matrix of the body. And I would open the laundry door, and it was Mum would scream at me from the kitchen, "Shut that bloody door, you'll let the flies in." The only time I ever stood up to Mum or answered back to Mum was to say, "No, Mum, but I've got to let Cameron in." "There's no such thing." "Quick, guys, come on in." So there was a whole stream of them, and they were all called Cameron.
Of course.
I didn't know until I went to school that I was the only one that could see them.
Oh.
Tad embarrassing.
Well, no, not at all. I mean, I think people undervalue sometimes the spirit guides and the people that were there. And whether you put it down to saying, "Oh, look, I've just got a funny feeling about this," or that intuition. And I'm a scientist by training, by trade, by everything else. There has got to be A plus B. There's a sensible. But there is so many unexplained things which go on. And I think it's kind of nice to think it's not just us against the universe to a certain extent. There's a comfort in that.
Oh, yes.
But when you're looking at things and experiences, the ways that you feel in a space, but not only that, the reasons behind some of the decisions you randomly make, which really aren't randomly, or things you go, "Hang on a minute, no, I need to stop what I'm doing, I need to call Mum." You know, these things that we just tap into, there's unexplainables there. And I think we do ourselves a disservice, even the most logical amongst us, do ourselves a disservice if we don't acknowledge there's something.
Absolutely.
There's something there.
Don't have to believe it. Acknowledging it is, there are things that we can't explain, and we don't have to explain them.
I rewatched one of my favourite movies last night, which was City of Angels.
Oh,
and
I love that.
There's a line in that which says, "Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean that it's not true."
Yes.
And that's, of course, Seth speaking to Meg Ryan's character in the standing outside the elevator there. And this is so true. But, of course, that's the end of your journey. This integrated wellness is the end of your journey. And it sounds like you were always destined to go there.
Yes.
Right from the age of 5. But it was a very wiggly path.
It was a very wiggly path. And I have my mother to thank for that wiggliness as well.
That wasn't her telling you to shut the door so the camera can't get
in. It was.
Right.
It was also.
You need a real job.
It was.
This is not a real job, Rebecca. Come on. You'll never support a family with that.
That's right. Healing is not a real job. So I had to, I ended up going, well, I chose to go into the corporate world to have that real job. And in those days, well, you didn't argue with your parents. If your parents said that's what you had to do, your parents knew everything and that's what you did.
And they always had your best interests in heart. Let's be honest.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I doubt she understood Cameron or his six other versions of him.
Yeah. No. And yet, interestingly, all of my family are medical. They're all allopathic. And I'm the only one that's not. I'm the one with the five heads. So Mum was the one that introduced me to Reiki. So I was the youngest in Australia to receive Reiki attunements when Australia had its first Reiki master. So Mum brought me along to that. And Mum brought me along to reflexology and to this and to that.
Hang on a minute. For a lady who wanted you to have a real job, that sounds a little bit woo-woo.
Yeah, we did woo-woo a lot, Mum and I.
Well, you had a bond. It's nice to find something in common.
Yeah.
Okay, so your very scientific woo-woo mum said get a real job and?
And I did. After school, I went, I don't want to go to uni. I don't want to go to uni yet, so I decided that I was going to have a year off and get a job. So I got a job in the library at what was then known as the West Australian College of Advanced Education, and is now Churchlands Campus, or I think it's Edith Cowan University now. And so I did that, and that was a maternity position, maternity leave position. And so I learned heaps.
Not to be confused with having to be pregnant to be
precisely.
There. Yeah.
Thank goodness for that. I'd be in big trouble. So I did that, and then I moved into admissions, and I was writing a computer program. And throughout my working life, I was doing a lot with IT and computers. And now I look at computers and go, I don't want to know. Don't want to program. Don't want to know.
You could argue that a lot of us believe the computer's a little magic black box. Yes. So maybe there's some synergies there.
Yes, exactly. Yep, exactly.
So obviously you come through the sales, the customer service, the marketing side of things, which gave you that corporate grounding effectively. So that gives you an understanding, obviously, the pressures, the stresses and strains, which comes with working in this corporate world. Is that what's given you the advantage in working through integrated wellness now? You understand what your clients are dealing with?
Yes, and because I've dealt with it as well. I experienced burnout, and when I came back from Europe to Sydney, I didn't realise I was burnt out. I didn't realise what was going on for quite a while. And then finally, someone was able to explain it to me. I never want to go through burnout again.
It's a label, isn't it? It's like,
it is.
Oh, it's like you must be tired or you must be depressed or you're burnt out. It's like, I'm a professional businesswoman. I'm completely competent. I'm not going to get burnt out. Don't be ridiculous. I can juggle thousands of things.
Yes.
It's almost like it's this naughty label. It's a bit like, you know, a lot of mental health issues. That show, I'm not depressed. Don't be ridiculous. Only incompetent people get depressed and I'm not incompetent. So how am I there? So how did you deal with that when you've gone burnout? Okay, so tell me about that. Oh geez, that does sound like me.
Yeah, it was a challenge, and it was a great learning as well, because I couldn't do anything other than stop. And stop I did. I had to. I really couldn't do anything else, and I could barely think, I could barely function, so I had to stop and rest. And that's when we moved back to WA for about 18 months. Well, originally 18 months of this week. we're still here.
That was the plan, yeah.
That was the plan, yep. We're still here. So I didn't really have a choice. And as much, and it went against everything that I believed in, because you kept going.
Don't be ridiculous, I'm not giving up, yeah.
I was a champion swimmer. You got a cramp, you swim it through. You swim through it, you do it. You don't stop because of something, you know, a snivel or a this or a anything, you know. You don't do it. You just keep going.
Yeah.
But I had to stop. And then later on, many years later, I experienced something else that I'm able to relate to with my clients and when my clients experience it. I was suicidal. I was chronically depressed and suicidal. And then I had panic attacks, which I'd never had. And it was the most bizarre feeling, and I felt completely and utterly out of control. And I've never felt out of control before apart from that burnout years ago. And then after 2012, when I died,
died, just randomly throwing that, you died, just an NDE.
And I was in ICU for 6 days and then back on the ward for 6 weeks. And then I realised that I had a choice. I could either, thanks to a beautiful girlfriend from Geraldton who drove down and looked at me and said, well, mate, did you want to check out? Did you? And that hit me straight in the heart. And she was the first one that was able to elicit an emotional response from me. And I bawled my eyes out and went, yes. And I didn't realise that I had been working with people and working with clients and getting them really well and having fabulous results, and they were allergy free and they were no longer anaphylactic and no longer had Lyme disease and they could get their life back. And all that time I was ignoring all the signals that my body was giving me to slow down, to stop, to take care, to do this, all of these things. And then for me, the universe said, okay guys, well, she's not going to stop, so let's make her stop.
Wow.
And let's do it in the way that she's going to listen, because they had been tapping me on the shoulder and I'd been going, yep, whatever.
Yes, but underpants on the outside.
Exactly. Ta-da. Whack me on the head, yeah, I'll get to that. Okay, let's kill her. Right, no worries.
Let's kill her. Oh my goodness, do I want to know what happened?
Well, thankfully I was in hospital. I had developed sudden onset microcytic anemia.
Okay.
So I could barely walk from my lounge room to the guest toilet, and it would take me forever. And I was so incredibly tired, I could barely do anything. And I went into hospital for investigations into this microcytic anemia. And that night, I turned the TV off. I think I was watching CSI or something like that. I love those shows. Yeah.
Don't we all, yeah.
Yes. And turned the TV off and thought, yep, think I need to go to the toilet before I go to sleep. I got up and went to the ensuite and felt dizzy, and I thought, oh, my BP's low, my blood pressure's just gone down. This is weird. Uh-oh, this is not a normal one. Something's not right. And I remember reaching to press for the red button, for the emergency button, and I didn't get there.
Mm.
And the next thing I remember after being sent back and being told that, sorry, your time's not up, back there.
We're just giving you a warning. We were just kidding. Carry on.
And now we're serious, guys. So, yeah, this lady is one of the nurses, and there's no record of her at the hospital. Just stroking my arm saying, come back, Rebecca, come back, Rebecca, come back, Rebecca. And I'm hearing Clear and the resus team taking me down to ICU. And I had a pulmonary embolus.
Wow.
I had a clot lodged from my right calf into my heart. Thankfully, it didn't go to my brain. I would have had a stroke.
Mm.
So I have a titanium IVC filter, which I call my clot catcher.
Your clot catcher. Nice.
My clot catcher.
Because everyone needs a good clot catcher.
Exactly. And that's in my heart. So as a result of that...
Which means we can find you on a metal detector.
Absolutely, you can. Yeah,
definitely the heart, just there, blip, got
it. It's so funny. I think it's there because there's metal there. She's alive. So, yeah. So as a result of that, I sustained a bit of brain damage. So a little bit of short-term recall damage. Right. So that is a challenge in itself for me at times. So I'm remembering people's names. I'll look at them and go, yep, I know you now. What on earth is your name?
The thing is, that's not a brain damage issue. That's something a lot of us have got. But credit to that is fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that obviously has shaped the journey and what you choose to going forward. Do you think you could have made different decisions or different choices earlier in your journey to have a different outcome, that you wouldn't have ended up in this suicidal space and you wouldn't have ended up in the, you know, in that health space?
Absolutely. If I had taken the time to do more self-care, be more aware of self-care, take time out. I didn't have to be on the clock for my clients. I could have said no. Learning to say no. One word, two letters, no.
Sounds so simple, but just doesn't. Yeah. Mm.
And with that guilt that we're programmed with, that no, you've got to say yes, and somebody needs you, so you go. Well, actually, no, your doctor doesn't do that.
No, very true.
So what am I doing?
So you believe you could have made different decisions much earlier on, which wouldn't have led you down that path.
Yeah, definitely self-care, definitely stopping, definitely taking time out and walking my talk. I was telling my clients this and I wasn't doing it.
Mm.
And ignoring the signals in my body. So yes, I definitely could have made better decisions that wouldn't have ended up there Would that have been the right thing to do? I don't know at the end of the day, because I do believe everything happens for a reason.
So maybe this was a path that you needed to tread, not just for you, but for also the clients and the impact that you have on other people's lives.
Yes, exactly. I believe that's exactly what was meant to happen.
Wow. And does Cameron still to come in and out of your life, or did you leave him behind? He's gone, I've tried to kill you. I've actually killed you now. I'm out of here. I'm not taking responsibility for that.
Except on a Monday morning. Monday morning in the shower.
I'm not even going to touch
that. I know,
And does your husband know?
Yes. He just cracks up. And the funny part is he is still, looks exactly the same and is the same size as he was when I was 5.
Okay.
So for me, and it happened, he came back after a number of years of not being around.
Right.
After I'd gone to an energetic matrix seminar on the weekend. And I remember sitting at the back of the room, and I always sat at the back because that was my exit strategy. Because then I wouldn't disturb anyone if I needed to leave. And if I got bored or blah, 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 wanted to leave for any reason, I would just leave. Exit strategy, done.
Done. Planning ahead, very important. Yep.
Absolutely. And I came home and I got under the shower, and then all of a sudden Cameron went, "So now do you remember?" I went, "Yes."
"Yes, dear, sorry about that."
"Yes, exactly."
"Sorry." So what do you think made him come back?
I don't know. Perhaps to give me that kick up the bum and say, "Hey, you know this stuff. What are you doing wasting your time?"
It's like, "I told you, you were
fine." That's right.
"What? You were listening then. What happened?"
Exactly. Why did you choose to forget?
But as a child, we are so much more open to all sorts of things.
Yes.
And if we're tired, we sleep. If we're sad, we cry. If we're pissed off, we crack it. You know, and at some stage, we learn that that's unacceptable.
Yes.
And I wonder if there'd be a lot less stress in the world if we just behaved
honestly
and with genuine, "This is how I'm feeling. You know what? I appreciate that me cracking it makes you feel uncomfortable, but I'm damn well pissed off." And we would reduce some of the stress that we all carry along as we
Absolutely.
Try to behave properly and guess the way things are supposed to be.
Yep. And we're not in charge of other people's feelings. Mm. We're in charge of our own and the way we respond to our own situations. And that's the what I've written about in a book that's recently been published.
Cool, tell me about that.
It's called Activate Your Life, 50 Transformational Exercises from Coaches Around the World. I was one of 50 coaches globally asked to submit a chapter of my favourite exercise that I do with clients. So I did that, and it's about taking responsibility for yourself. And responsibility is also the ability to respond. So it's not my fault that this happens, but it is my responsibility. And it's about taking back your power. Where have you handed your power over to? Did you hand it over to anxiety, where you're living in the future, expecting the future and expecting things to go wrong in the future? Or did you hand it over to a person? They said something to you and you felt like this. They can't make you feel anything.
How often do you hear that? "You made me sad. You made me angry." No, dude.
No, I'm the only one that can feel sad. I'm the only one that can feel angry. You can sit there and say the most horrendous things to me, and I'll be like, "Okay, give it your best shot. That's as good as you got. Come on, you can do better."
You can do better than that, yeah.
I'm responsible for me, and I'm responsible for whether I want to sit in victim and sit in fear, or whether I want to move across and make a decision to move across and stay in love and happy land. We all have that choice. Comes with domestic violence, with crime. We didn't ask for that. So it's not our fault it happened. However, it is our responsibility. We have the ability to respond and decide how we're going to react to that moving forward, how that's going to impact our life moving forward. Are we going to be a victim to that? Or are we going to move forward and own it and take responsibility and take our own power?
And taking responsibility for that's not taking it all, putting it in a big box, jamming the lid shut and putting a darn great lock on it and saying,
exactly.
"I'll put that in the corner." It's actually owning it,
yeah.
Feeling it, or experiencing it, whatever needs to happen in that space.
Yep.
Just letting it be with you for a while. Sit with it for a while and see just what happens.
Yeah.
Because as you say, out of some of these most challenging and almost adversarial type situations, amazing things can happen.
Yes.
Because they do, they can create doors and options and opportunities that you never would have dreamt of by yourself.
One of the sayings that I've heard in the coaching world and that I use in my coaching is, "In the silence is where the magic happens."
Nice.
So we don't have to be busy, we don't have to be noisy for these beautiful golden nuggets to come through, these aha moments, these beautiful magical awarenesses to come through, so where we can take control of ourselves again.
Mm. So integrated wellness takes all of these ideas, these concepts. When your clients come to you and have these discussions, what are they presenting with? Are they these little fried out beans that go, I've got no idea what to do next, someone told me to ring you?
Yes, some of them are, absolutely. Others have addictions, others have anxiety or social anxiety. I get a lot of kids that say, the world would be better off if I wasn't here.
Oh, that's just, yeah, breaks that my must heart. Just break your heart.
It does. A lot of self-harmers, a lot of kids that are self-harming, which I've been dealing with for 10 years. Allergies.
How do we get to a space where our children don't feel safe?
We don't spend enough time with them. We try to be their friend rather than their parent. If you do a good job, you'll be lucky. And if you're lucky, you'll be their friend as they're an adult. You will always be their parent. They need to know boundaries. They need to know the word no and why. They need to know what's going on. They need boundaries. They're going to push those boundaries. They need discipline. They need to be resilient. And we've got several generations of kids that are just not resilient. They have no resilience whatsoever. You look at them sideways, they burst into tears. It's like, oh, for crying out
loud.
Well,
I turned up, why didn't I get a prize?
Yes. Not everybody wins in life. It just doesn't work that way. And that's okay. It's not good or bad, right or wrong. It just is.
Yeah.
So build some resilience in us all.
This sounds like suck it up, princess.
Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it?
But I think you're right there, that just that whole, because if we don't learn resilience as children, and we take that into obviously our young adult lives, you don't have that ability to build healthy relationships, not just between your friends but and with your partners, but in business or in anything else or in the workplace. And if you've got no resilience there, how on earth can you possibly run a small business where it is a treadmill and the world is saying occasionally says no and you go, what the heck? Hang on, I put a whole bunch of work into this. What do you mean no? No, I really want to do this. Well, what do you mean still no? Without that resilience, you just can't survive a lot of things.
And that old saying, it takes a community to raise a child. That's not just as children, it's as we go through. We've lost that connection. We're on our devices. Kids are allowed to be on their computers and on their devices and gaming for hours and hours and hours. They become disconnected and very easily led because they're not standing for anything.
No.
They don't believe anything.
And all of a sudden their self-worth comes from how many likes that last comment they put on Facebook had, or whether anybody is following them on the Instagram account. And
how many friends
they have. How many friends in inverted commas that they have. It's such a fake
world. It's not reality. And we forget that that's what we're doing, and then we need to get out. Stub our toe. It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, the world will not end.
That's
and if it
right.
does, then that's okay.
Yes.
Because you know? Sometimes when one world ends, another begins.
Absolutely.
So integrated wellness deals with adults, children, a whole bunch of people.
Yep. And families.
And families as a whole unit.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm just a little lost as to where to go next. I'm just so interested in the conversation that we've had. I suppose we should do the whole, if people would like to work with you and reach out and have some of these discussions, which is, what can I do in this space? How do I do that? Well, this is what I'm facing, or this is what my concerns are for my child or my business partner. Best way to contact you?
My mobile, which is Australia 0411 176 055, or email me at rebecca@rebeccaprivilege.com.
Fantastic. Rebecca, thank you. It has, pun intended, been an absolute privilege to speak with you. I feel renewed with the conversation, and thank you so much for sharing your story. I think it's a very powerful reminder of not just what you do, but why you do it. And I think when you're dealing with something in this space, to have that resonance, to get to know that the person that I'm speaking to gets it.
Yes.
But from a business point of view, from a stress point of view, there's no platitudes, there's there. Oh, look, that must have made you sad. You've been there, you know what it is.
Yes.
So thank you so much. I look forward to speaking with you again.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. I look forward to it as well. Thank you.
for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.